Something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Except we are heading into territory that we've never been to before. So I guess history in this case is not repeating. It is Nicole Sandler back with you on Air America Radio. Phone number is 866-303-2270. If you hear anything in this next hour that you want to chime in on, feel free. We are live. It is 12 midnight or 12:06 on the East Coast where I'm broadcasting from. And joining me now is Kevin Zeese. He's been a frequent guest on this show. And as we get back into discussion on healthcare reform, you'll remember Kevin because he was one of the, did they call you the Baucus 8, Kevin?
Yeah, we were the Baucus 8. That's
the
right.
Baucus 8.
So one of couple months, I think it was a few months ago?
Yeah, boy, we've been at this for a while, huh? But
that's right.
I guess in political time, it's not that all that long.
Well, some have been at it for years. Some have been at it for decades.
That's right.
Single payer was FDR, Harry Truman idea, so it's a long run.
And it's amazing that we're still fighting for what I think should be a basic human right. And in most other, you know, first world countries, it is. We are the only advanced, industrialized nation in the world that doesn't consider healthcare a basic human right, that doesn't offer basically universal healthcare to its citizens. And the fact, I we're probably the only ones that have a for-profit system and a for-profit health insurance system on top of it, which, I mean, to me, it's a parasite relationship. They're like leeches sucking the lifeblood out of us, at least 30%
right.
of it, right?
That's why we're ranked 38th in the world in healthcare outcomes. That's why we have 20,000 people a year die because they can't get healthcare. We have tens of thousands of bankruptcies annually because of people having health problems, most of whom have health insurance and still go bankrupt. And so it's a system that is very leeching, and sadly the Democratic bill that's being proposed just enhances that. It's going to be a $1 trillion giveaway to the insurance industry, a payback for their lovely contributions to President Obama and to the Democratic leadership.
Well, you're right, because what will happen is with mandated health insurance,
right.
without a public option, if the government requires that every person buy a health insurance policy from one of these for-profit companies, well, then they're hitting the jackpot there.
They're hitting the jackpot. It's a $1 trillion. You're thinking they're going to be cutting Medicare and Medicaid, health care for the poor and elderly, to help make that happen. They're going to be requiring, working people to, middle-class people to go out and buy insurance. If you're a family with an income of $88,000 a year, you'll be paying 20% of your income on health care, health insurance.
And 30% of every one of those dollars can go to line the coffers, the profit coffers of some health insurance company.
Well, they go to waste. I mean, 31% is to waste. I mean, and that's why at ProsperityAgenda.us, the organization I'm representing here, we're advocating a single-payer system. And that's the only way, really, to get the middleman out of this, the vampire that's sucking the blood out of the American people. The insurance industry needs to be taken out of this and removed. We don't need to be spending 31% of the cost of health care on insurance and the bureaucracy they create. So we had a big victory the other day on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned history about to be made in your opening comment.
Yep.
With the because of the maneuverings of the single payer advocates in the House of Representatives, especially Representative
Anthony Weiner, right.
from New York. He proposed a single-payer amendment to the Democratic leadership bill, and the committee was nervous that it might pass because the Republicans might support it just to highlight the conflicts the Democrats have. I mean, advocating for the people but taking money from the insurance industry, so the Republicans voted for it and the single-payer members of the committee voted for it, it would have passed, and that would have just turned everything on its head. So in order to avoid that risk, the leadership of the Democratic Party offered Anthony Weiner a floor vote and a floor debate, and that would be the first time ever since Truman and FDR were fighting for this that we're having a debate on the floor of either House of Congress on the issue of a single-payer national health care system.
Right, and that tremendous. That is stunning, and that's why on Friday night people were saying to me, really, this is a good thing that it was tabled from this committee? You think it would have passed in committee?
We don't know. It's a questionable thing. There was a vote earlier that based on an amendment that Dennis Kucinich put in, allowing states to approve have their own single-payer system. And it passed with 25 votes, 12 from the 13 from the Democrats and 12 from the Republicans. There's many more Democrats on the committee, so there were a higher percentage of Republicans who voted to allow states to have single payer than there were Democrats. And so that passed. And I think that made the committee chair, Henry Waxman. By the way, Waxman used to be a single payer supporter. You know, he was on the single payer the bill before the Democrats got control.
So what happened? Did he just take too much money from the health insurance?
He dropped off. Just like President Obama. President Obama in 2003 says we have to first win back the House, then we have to win back the Senate, we have to win back the presidency, then we'll get single payer.
In fact, I've got that clip. I've got that clip right here. You know what? Let's just listen to it.
I want to cover everybody. Now, the truth is...
You know what? I'm sorry. I've got the wrong clip up. That is a good clip, too. All right, let's play it.
I want to cover everybody. Now, the truth is that unless you have what's called a single-payer system in which everybody's automatically covered, then you're probably not going to reach every single individual because there's always going to be somebody out there who thinks they're indestructible and doesn't want to get health care, doesn't bother getting health care, and then unfortunately when they get hit by a bus, end up in the emergency room and the rest of us have to pay for it.
See, so even then, I mean, he was saying, and this was just a couple of weeks ago during the press conference.
He was making a very important point.
Yep.
He made it partially right. I think his second half was actually false, but the first part where he says a single payer is the only system that covers everyone, that's exactly right. Now, a lot of people don't get insurance, not because they think they're invincible, but because they can't afford it. It's just not an affordable commodity, and they risk their, and I'm telling you, people with insurance don't like not having insurance. They feel insecure about it. They feel worried about it. They want to be able to get health care, but if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. And even on these Democratic bills, you're still going to be paying, 15 to 20% of your income for health insurance. And on top of that, you'll get, deductibles and co-pays, and so it's going to be a rip-off. It's going to be a transfer of wealth from working people to the elites who fund the Democratic Party, and that's the problem that we're really facing here. And that's why this vote on single-payer is so important, and it's a great opportunity for us to contrast the single-payer national health care system, which is essentially Medicare for all, with the multi-payer private insurance system, which is employment-based insurance, at a time when people are losing jobs and losing their health care, and show how that doesn't work. And when you compare those two together, the multi-payer system versus single-payer system, there's no question which is better for the country, for the individuals in our country, the families, and for our economy. The multi-payer system is going to undermine our economy. It's going to make a jobless recovery because small businesses and big businesses are not going to want to hire more people because of the risk of having to pay for health care. So why hire more people?
And forget about it. If you're a little older than, if you're a 50-year-old person, that's the reason why companies are not hiring more experienced workers, because someone who's 50 years old comes with a pre-existing condition, and it's going to cost that much more for insurance for that person. And then if the group has too many claims on it, well, then guess what? Then the rates for the whole group are going to go up.
And I've been, Obama has in recent comments, as he's seen this all unfold, it's become very clear that the multi-payer system is not going to work. I mean, it's become obvious. The contortions the Congress is going through, do we tax the wealthy? Do we force employers to pay for it? Do we force citizens to pay for it? Do we take from Medicare, Do we, have a lottery? What are we going to do to pay for this thing, We have no idea. The contortions are embarrassing that they're going through. When you have a simple approach, a Medicare for all, which is just expand the system that works. It's, you know, Medicare is one of the best healthcare systems in the world. If you look at the satisfaction, the outcomes, we do a great job with cancer in this country, people surviving cancer, because we have healthcare for the elderly. But our other system, our private health insurance system, the employment-based private health system, which is an accident of history, by the way, that system is the 38th, is ranked 38, you know, 38th in the country. And so we have one of the worst systems, and we're building on that, and we have one of the best systems, and we're not building on that. It's
I know. It makes no sense, and it's all money is all at the root cause of this. And, in fact, in the next half hour, I'm going to be playing some segments from Keith Olbermann's special comment tonight, which was not short of brilliant. Kevin Zeese is with us. He's the executive director of ProsperityAgenda.us. So now here's the thing. We've got this August recess going on right now.
Right.
And the House is already in recess. The Senate, they leave on Friday, and everyone goes home to their districts. Now,
Right. There's
a group, you know, the teabaggers, they're at it again, and they're trying to rile up and get groups to go to different town hall meetings to disrupt
them.
And, in fact, I've got this memo that I've posted a link to from my blog at RadioOrNot.com. And the guy who wrote the memo is a guy named Bob McGuffey. And I called him today because if you look at that memo, if you scroll down, it's a 10-page thing, and it's that thing progress.org too. They're the ones who put it up there. It's a PDF file. The second to last page, there's his email address and phone number. So it's right there. If you just Google it, you'll find him. And so I called him, and so I'm going to share the text of that phone call. But you people shouldn't be dissuaded from going to town hall meetings. In fact, they just need to be armed with what these people are going to be doing, so you know how to respond to them.
In fact, we've been at town hall meetings. If you've not watched over the last few months as this healthcare debate's evolved, there have been numerous town hall meetings. At almost every town hall meeting, there are single payer people asking pointed questions.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Obama was answering one of those questions at that clip you just played,
right,
where he said single payer is the only way to cover everybody, because that is, you know, the issue people want. If you look at the public, that's what the public wants by large majorities. We want a single payer system. We don't really like the health insurance system. We like to have our own doctor. We want choice of doctors, and single payer gives you a complete choice of doctors. But we don't want a choice of insurance. We want to get rid of insurance. It's in the way. Who wants them telling us what to do? And so that's why whenever you have a town hall meeting, people are asked about that question. I'd urge people to go out and participate in that. Let them hear, our members of Congress hear from progressives who are urging a single-payer system, a pragmatic approach to solving this problem, not some keep the insurance company happy, keep the pharmaceutical company happy approach, approach that actually provides health care. It'll be better for the economy. If you look at prosperityagenda.us, which is our website, we cover a whole range of economic issues, banking, et cetera. But on the healthcare section, you'll see a whole series of articles that describe the economic impact, the personal impact, and also you'll be told what you can do to help. And we're recommending two things right now. First, we want to make sure there's a CBO score, Congressional Budget Office scoring, of the single-payer bill. And we want to see that, you know, you've heard some of that scoring for the Democratic leadership bills. They've always come back disappointed, too expensive, don't cover enough people. We're confident that single-payer scoring will cover everybody and save the country money. So we want to see a CBO scoring, so we urge you to write letters to the leadership. If you go to our website, prosperityagenda.us, you can click and send a letter to them. You can call them, take action.
Great, and you have all...
Send letters to the editor of their local paper. As these members of Congress go home, they'll be reading their local papers even more closely. We give you a link where you can write a letter to your local paper. We give you some talking points where you can do that as well. And the final thing we want you to do is give us your ideas. We have a 2-month time period now to put on the best campaign ever for single-payer health care. We need your help in coming up with ideas. So contact us. Let us know. You can write me at the prosperityagenda.us website, and let us know what you think is what kind of campaign we should put on to convince Congress to do the right thing here.
Perfect. All right, Kevin Zeese of prosperityagenda.us, and again, I'll put a link to that site on my blog at radioornot.com. I confirmed you just moments before we went on the air, so I didn't get it in there before, but I'll go right now during the break and make sure it's there. It's always great to talk to you. We're going to keep talking about this because we have to. Kevin Zeese, prosperityagenda.us. Thank you so much. You too. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and I'll give you a dramatic reading of my first phone call with Bob McGuffey. Oh, you got to stay tuned for this one.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
Nicole Sandler.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270.